Harvest New Beginnings Church is located in Oswego, Illinois. Our mission is to make disciples who are radically devoted to Christ, having both a deep love for God and a sincere love for people. This message is brought to you by Pastor Scott Poling.
We went on a staff retreat a couple weeks ago to Starved Rock and had a great time. It was a different kind of retreat. It was a spiritual retreat. It really wasn't business-oriented, ministry-oriented. It was a time for us as a staff to review verses, go off on our own, read those verses, meditate upon those verses, pray over them, come back, discuss, encourage one another, and pray again. And we went out at different times. One of the times that I went out by myself, I drove to different areas in my car, and I drove by a couple that was walking on the side of the road about 4 miles away from the lodge there at Starved Rock, and it just didn't look right. So after a short time of studying, I made my way back, and they were still walking. And they didn't look really happy, frustration on their faces. I thought, well, maybe they had been caught in the rainstorm that had gone through, and it was very hot, it was humid. And I assumed that they were probably hiking some trails. And the rain caught them, and it was really buggy, and they had just made their way out of the woods and were walking back. So I pulled over, and I offered them a ride. And I know what you're thinking. You don't do that, Pastor Scott! Okay, well, I wouldn't recommend it for everyone, okay? I'm just putting that out there. But they didn't look dangerous, and they didn't look like serial killers, all right? By the way, if you ever do give someone a ride and they thank you for not being afraid, this is how you respond. You tell them, the chance of two serial killers being in the same car at the same time is like a billion to one. That'll just put them to ease, okay? Put them at ease. Anyway, I pulled up and I introduced myself as a pastor, which I usually never do, but I wanted to alleviate any fears because I am so big and scary looking, okay? And my deep voice is very intimidating. I understand that as well. And you say, Pastor Scott, why would you pick up strangers? Why? Why would you risk your life? Why? And the honest answer is, because I felt it's what the Lord wanted me to do. That's why. And I didn't hear an audible voice. I didn't see a sign in the sky, just an inner prompting or a nudge. And it seemed like they had a physical need that I could meet. And I didn't know if there was a spiritual need that I could tell them about Jesus. You know, witnessing to people or sharing our faith with people can be very awkward at times. And it can be intimidating. Or witnessing, sharing our faith, can be very natural and very invigorating. Dave and Tracy were caught in the rain. They had hiked out much further than they were planning on going. They were caught in the rain, and it was hot, and it was humid. They were bug-bitten, and they were wet, and they were frustrated, and they were tired, and they were on their 31st wedding anniversary trip here from Wisconsin. And I gave them a ride back. And they didn't receive the Lord. They didn't see, you know, the Illinois River and say, water, stop, what stops us from being baptized? No, none of that happened, okay? But seeds of the gospel were planted. And I took them back to the visitor center where their car was parked, and I was able to tell them about the love of Jesus. And I was able to show them the love of Jesus. And before they got out of the car, I asked if I could pray for them. And so I prayed for them in the name of Jesus. And you may say, well, Pastor Scott, I struggle at sharing my faith. And I don't know how to go about doing it. And I don't know if I do it right. And I feel awkward. And then I feel guilt. And then I feel shame because I didn't do it. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And what I want to do today and over the next couple weeks, it is, I want us to learn some lessons about sharing our faith from a guy named Phil. And Phil is a great example of a lot of things. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we're going to learn about Phil. We're going to see Phil in action. And we're going to watch him. We're going to observe him. And we're going to see some practical lessons when it comes to talking to people about Jesus and just sharing our faith. And my prayer is that this will be very clear, very simple, and just very straightforward lessons from Phil. Now, a couple things we need to know about Phil before we jump into the passages. One is that Phil was a member of a church, just like you and me. He was a member of a church, and the church was at Jerusalem. And Phil was a member in the church serving the Lord, and then he was chosen as a deacon. He was chosen as a deacon by the congregation, just like we do at our church. That's what we do. And not unlike Pastor Gary was one time a deacon in our church, and not unlike Mike Hess was one time a deacon in our church. And the apostles, you have to understand, were overwhelmed with ministry details. And all these things, details of ministries, and particularly in the area of serving in the church and serving the widows in the church. And so we see in Acts 6, 3 through 4, the apostles go to the church and they say, "Therefore, brethren," hey, church family, "select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of the task. But we're going to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And so this ministry of deacons was very, very important in the early church, and it's very, very important in our church. And we need men of God who have a good reputation, full of the Spirit of God, full of wisdom from God, whom we may put in charge of tasks. In other words, they are responsible men who can oversee ministries. So these were laymen who were a huge help in the local church. By the way, I believe most of the men serving communion this service and last service are deacons in our church as well. God has raised up these laymen in our church to make a difference and serve you and serve people and serve needs and serve the pastoral staff. By the way, if you're a deacon in our church, would you stand right now where you are? If you're a deacon, go ahead and just stand where you are right now. There we go. There's some guys over there. Let's thank these guys for serving the Lord. Now, Phil was a deacon who eventually went into ministry as an evangelist and raised 4 godly daughters who would serve the Lord. We see this in Paul's third missionary journey also in Acts when he reports this in Acts 21, 8 and 9. "On the next day, we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist," who was one of the 7, one of these 7 original deacons. And it says, "We stayed with him, and now this man had 4 virgin daughters who were prophetesses." And so it was a family that was serving the Lord. Now, Phil knew something about serving the Lord. He also knew something about sharing Jesus with other people. And let's watch him in action. Let's learn some practical things. And we see this in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 25. So turn to Acts chapter 8. Starting in verse 25. "So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza, that is a desert road.' So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.' Philip ran up, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'Well, how could I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." Lessons from Phil. That's what I've titled this message. Lessons from Phil when it comes to sharing our faith. Number one is this. Make sharing Jesus the habit of your life. Say that with me. Make sharing Jesus the habit of your life. This is nothing out of the ordinary for Phil. Look at verse 25 of Acts 8. "When they had solemnly testified, spoken the word of the Lord, started back to Jerusalem, and they were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans." So Phil has already been testifying. He's already been speaking the word of the Lord. He's already been preaching the gospel in Samaritan villages. This was nothing out of the ordinary for this guy. Nothing was awkward or different for Deacon Phil. This is who he was. This is what he did. Jesus changed his life. He loved Jesus. He wanted the others to know about Jesus. Listen, we talk to people about so many things. Let's take our subject matter so much higher and so much holier. We talk to people about the weather. We talk to people about sports. We talk to people about politics. We talk to people about everything. There is one subject so much better, so much more important, so much more eternal is at stake. Talk to people about Jesus. Make sharing Jesus who you are. Make sharing Jesus what you do. And start now, if you haven't started already. Because the more you practice, the more natural it will become. And the more you practice, the better you'll be at it. Listen, this world is desperate for good news. We have it. This world is hopeless. Hopeless marriages, hopeless finances, hopeless lives. Hopelessness is everywhere. We have the hope of the world. We can tell people your sins can be forgiven. No matter what you have done in this life, God can forgive you. That is hope, people. People are so unloved. They've been betrayed. They've been hurt. We need to tell them there is a God who loves you. He will never betray you. He has created you. He cares for you. He has a plan for your life. He wants a relationship with you. You are loved. That's good news. We can tell people heaven is real and you can go there someday. This life is short. We're all going to die. We need the hope of eternity. We need the hope of heaven. We have that hope to share with people. Such holy, such beautiful news we have. Tell people about Jesus. Tell them he'll save them from their sins. Tell them he loves them, even when other people don't. Tell them there's a place in heaven prepared if they but receive the Lord. Lessons from Phil. Make sharing Jesus the habit of your life. There's a second thing. Serving Jesus and sharing Jesus go hand in hand. Say that with me. Serving Jesus and sharing Jesus go hand in hand. And Phil knew something about serving. He's a deacon. Deacon means servant. That's what it means. So Phil is serving as a deacon. Phil is serving his church family. Phil is serving widows in his church. Phil is serving the church leadership. He is already serving Jesus, as many of you in this church are doing. You're plugged in to this church. You're connected in this church. You're using your spiritual gifts in this church. You understand the importance of being a family. And as a family, we all pitch in. That's what it's about. We serve together and we serve one another. But serving Jesus naturally leads into sharing Jesus. Do not miss this. Some people think, well, I'm already serving Jesus. I don't need to tell people about Jesus. Oh, no, 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 no. If you're serving Jesus, it leads right into sharing Jesus. But a lot of Christians make excuses. Here's one. Evangelism isn't my spiritual gift. You know, my spiritual gift is mercy, or my spiritual gift is teaching, or my spiritual gift is giving, or my spiritual gift is administration, or my spiritual gift is exhortation, or whatever. You know, or I'm just not good at evangelism. You know, other Christians are better than that, so I'm going to let God have them do that. You need to understand something very clearly. Evangelism is never listed as a gift in the Bible. There's four passages in the Bible where the gifts are listed out. Evangelism is never listed as a spiritual gift. Evangelism, by the way, the word, is never even used in the Bible. It's not used. Now, the word evangelist is, and an evangelist, the Greek word means one who brings good news. One who brings good news. So when we share the gospel with people, we are bringing good news. Now, it's used three times in Scripture. One place is in 2 Timothy 4:5, when Paul tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So do the work of an evangelist. Share the good news with people, Paul told Timothy. Ephesians 4:11 and 12 is another place it's listed. He gave some as apostles, he's talking to the church here, some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Why? Why would God give evangelists? Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So an evangelist is given to equip the saints to do evangelism. It's not their job to do evangelism. It's the people of God's job to do evangelism. So evangelism isn't a spiritual gift, but a point of Christian maturity. That's what it is. Mature Christians share Jesus with people. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, how mature as a Christian am I? Because mature Christians tell people about Jesus. See, a lot of us think we're mature in our walk with the Lord. One of the aspects of maturity is telling other people about the Lord. And so you may be here today, and this Holy Spirit right now is convicting you, saying you're not as mature as you think you are. It's time to grow. It's time to learn. It's time to understand. If I am going to grow as a Christian, I need to learn how to open my mouth. And I need to tell people the good news that there is a God who loves them and will forgive them, and that there is hope in this hopeless world. Now, sharing Jesus is a calling for all Christians, and it is a privilege for all Christians. The words of the Lord to his followers in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples. He wants us going. He wants us making disciples of all people, all nations. And in Acts 1:8, and you shall be my what? My witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth in Illinois. Isn't that amazing? So we're supposed to go everywhere and tell everybody about Jesus because people are desperate for good news. Man, I'm so glad my friend Bob shared the good news with me when I was 17. I'm so glad. Aren't you glad somebody took the time to share the good news with you? Let God use you to share the good news. This is why serving and sharing go hand in hand, and why serving and sharing is very important in our church. We have three values: reaching up, reaching in, and reaching out. We are called to reach up in worship, corporately as well as individually. We are called to reach in, connect in life-changing relationships with one another, and use our gifts, serve one another. And we are also called to reach out to share the gospel with people and make disciples. And so this is what a healthy Christian does. This is what a mature Christian does. He serves. She serves. He shares. She shares. Phil, lessons from Phil. Make sharing Jesus the habit of your life. Serving Jesus and sharing Jesus go hand in hand. Here's a third one. Share Jesus in spite of any and all persecution. Would you say that with me? Share Jesus in spite of any and all persecution. We've got to remember what is going on behind the scenes at this time in the book of Acts. Acts 8, 3 through 5. Saul, who would later become Paul, is ravaging the church. He's entering house after house of Christians and dragging off men and women and putting them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. Isn't it amazing? They're under persecution, they're being scattered, and they still preach. They're being scattered, and they're still telling people about Jesus. But I want you to notice how bad things are. Naming the name of Jesus lands you in prison. Going to church on a Sunday morning lands you in prison. I dare say our attendance would probably be a lot lower if this was still happening today. Being a follower of Jesus, the Lord, lands you in prison. Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, are losing their freedoms. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. They're losing their lives. There's another man, a friend of Phil's, who was also a deacon in the church. He's in that list. His name was Stephen. And this friend of Phil's, Stephen, would be murdered. A fellow deacon, a servant of the Lord. One of the original seven of that congregation chosen. His murder is recorded in Acts 7, if you'd like to read it later. And so people are playing for keeps. But they're not stopping the advancement of the gospel. The gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. He's going to build it. He's going to build it. He's going to continue to build it. It was Tertullian, a prolific early church author and apologist from the Roman province of Carthage in Africa, who said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Continues to grow, continues to grow, continues to grow. Persecution has never stopped the advancement of the gospel. Persecution should never keep me from sharing the gospel. Persecution should never stop you from opening up your mouth about Jesus. No matter what you lose a job, lose a home, lose a promotion. Even if we were to lose our lives, we are to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's no more hope in this world outside of him. He is the only hope. It is Jesus alone who transforms lives. It is Jesus alone who gives victory over sin. It is Jesus alone who saves souls from eternal damnation in the lake of fire. That's why people need to know Jesus. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus and Jesus alone. So keep telling people about Jesus and don't stop telling people about Jesus. He's the only hope for this world. Lessons from Phil. Make sharing Jesus the habit of your life. Serving Jesus and sharing him go hand in hand. Share Jesus in spite of any and all persecution. You may say, "Well, how? That's scary. I don't know what's going to happen at work. I don't know how my neighbors are going to respond. I don't know what my family members would do. I'm scared." Number four, focus on being spirit-filled and you'll overcome all fear. Say that with me. Focus on being spirit-filled and you'll overcome all fear. Now, we know Phil is a spirit-filled man of God. Again, Acts 6:3, "Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men, good reputation, full of the Spirit." They're full of the Spirit. They are topped off with the Spirit of God, okay? Meaning these are men of God who walk with God. And to be full of the Spirit means yielded to God, means controlled by God, means obedient to God. They're not grieving the Spirit of God in any area of their life. They are men of God who are serving God to the full. That's who these deacons are, full of the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice something about Spirit-filled people. Spirit-filled people are very bold. Acts 4:31, persecution has broken out. "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were filled with" what? "The Holy Spirit. And they began to speak the word of God" with what? "Boldness." Spirit-filled people are bold people. Be bold, do not be timid. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, you will be bold, which is a whole nother thing. We may think we're filled with the Spirit of God. One of the litmus tests is whether we're bold for Jesus or not. Because if we're cowering, we're afraid, we don't want people to know we're a Christian, we don't want to talk to people about Jesus, you are not controlled by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is all about getting the name of Jesus out. Because it's the name of Jesus that saves people. We are not called to be timid. We are called to boldness. 2 Timothy 1:7 and 8. Paul writes to Timothy, a pastor. "God has not given us a spirit of timidity or of fear, but of power and love and discipline. Power is what God points out here. Love is what God points out here. And discipline is what God points out here. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Now listen, I want you to notice here, God gives a spirit of power. That's boldness, but not obnoxiousness. There's plenty of obnoxious Christians out there that give a bad name to Jesus. That's why I think he has in here love. Power is partnered with love. We are to speak the truth, but speak it in what? In love. You're not a spirit-filled Christian if you're bold, but you're obnoxious. If you're bold and you're not loving people. Bold, power, coupled with love, is incredibly influential. When you can be a Christian who's bold with your faith, and you are in love with people, that will make a difference. And disciplined, not lazy, clear, organized, thoughtful. Be bold, not timid. And then he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of me as prisoner. In other words, there's no shame when you're a spirit-filled Christian. There's no shame of knowing Jesus. Jesus saved you. There's no shame of being friends with other Christians. There's no shame of seeing your pastor in public at the grocery store when you're with other friends. And then you say, oh, let's go this way. There's no shame. You can come right up to me and say, Pastor Scott! And I say, I don't know you. No. There's no shame, okay? And you may say, did that happen? No, it hasn't happened. Well, maybe it has. I just didn't see you walk away. But anyway, there's no shame of other Christians. There's no shame of the Lord. Be bold, not ashamed. In Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? That good news of Jesus saving people is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel is for everyone because everybody needs Jesus. There's no shame. You may say, well, what do I do? I'm not as bold as I should be. I kind of get awkward. I'm afraid to share my faith. I don't want to be obnoxious, but I know I should tell people about Jesus. What should I do? You know what you should do? You should do the same thing the Apostle Paul did when he was afraid to share the gospel. The Apostle Paul was afraid to share the gospel? Yeah, I believe there were times in his life when he was fearful. That's why he told Christians in Ephesians chapter 6 these words, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so I would say if you struggle with witnessing, telling people about Jesus and giving them good news, I think it starts with prayer. I think you go to the Lord and you go to other Christian friends and family members, and you say, I want to be a mature Christian. I want to grow as a Christian. I want to grow in my faith. And I know one area is being able to tell people about Jesus. Would you pray for me? And would you pray with me? Because I want to be bold. I don't want to be obnoxious. But I want to be bold. And I want to be loving. And so start praying about it. Start praying with other people. And watch the Lord answer that prayer. These are some lessons from Phil. Here's another one we'll look at this morning. Obey the leading of the Lord. Say that with me. Obey the leading of the Lord. Look at verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. I got to get me one of these apps, APS, Angelic Positioning System. I just would love that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't it be nice an angel just speaks to you? Wouldn't you like an angelic positioning system? I sure would. So the angel speaks to him, get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's a desert road. And so he got up and he went. I don't have an APS. Do you? No. You have something far better. And so do I. You have someone much better than an angel, and you have something much better than an angel. That someone is the Holy Spirit of God who indwells you as a child of God. You are sealed. You have the Spirit of God in you. You have God, the third person of the Trinity, residing in you as a Christian. You have something much better than an angel, people. You have God's Holy Spirit leading you. And you have the Word of the living God guiding you to teach you. Problem is, we have too many Christians that are not filled with the Spirit of God. They're not yielded to Him. And they're not reading their Bibles. And so we got Christians going in circles all over the place, lost. No wonder they don't share their faith with anybody, because they're not yielded to the Spirit of God and His leading in their life. They're not controlled by the Spirit. There's unconfessed sin there. And they're not in the Bible every single day, reading the Bible, meditating upon it, studying the Bible, letting it feed and nurture your soul. And that may be the biggest reason why you don't share your faith. You're not controlled by the Spirit, yielded to Him, and you don't read your Bible hardly at ever. Because people controlled by the Spirit and reading the Word of God are spiritually minded. And they will be sharing their faith. They're maturing. They're growing. So maybe where you need to start, is there any area in my life where there's unconfessed sin? I need to be right with God. And I need to have Him control my life. And I need to read my Bible every single day. I need to let the Word of God feed me, teach me. Maybe that's where we need to start. Now, we see him obeying the leading of the Lord. I want you to notice specifically some things. He obeys when it means witnessing all by himself. When it means witnessing alone. Verse 26, the Lord spoke to Philip. I want you to understand who is with Philip right now. Acts 8:14. But when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Pete and John. So Philip is hanging out with Peter and John. That's not bad company. The inner circle, Pete and John, the guys who were first to the empty tomb, Pete and John, he's in the big leagues, Deacon Phil is. He's walking with the apostles. He's doing ministry with the apostles. Man, I could share Jesus when I had Pete and John next to me. How about you? My goodness, I'd be bold, wouldn't you? And now the Lord taps him on the shoulder and says, all by yourself, go this way. What? Yeah, all by yourself. Because he didn't tap Pete and John. He's just saying, Phil, it's you. You know what he's teaching? God has people for you to talk to, not someone else. God wants to use you. Not necessarily your pastor with you. Sometimes every once in a while, I'll get a call about, you know, hey, Pastor Scott, I've got this friend I'd like you to share the gospel with. Hello? You're their friend. You're in their life. You have the connections. You don't need Pastor Scott holding your hand. This is a time to grow and trust the Lord and let Him mature you and be Spirit-filled and Spirit-controlled. God wants to use you. Not you with somebody necessarily. God has one-on-one appointments for you and for me. One-on-one appointments. People only you can touch. People only in your circle of influence. People only you can impact. Neighbors that you live next to or down the road from. Coworkers you work with. Classmates or teammates that you know. Strangers from Wisconsin walking down the side of a road on their 31st anniversary trip. That was an appointment for me to share the gospel with those people. God has people in your life and my life that we alone are to talk to. So we've got to obey even when it means going alone. We need to obey when we thought we were finished. Acts 8:25, when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem. Woohoo! Ministry's over for the day. We're going back to Jerusalem now. We're going home. We're going to go back to our own homes and our own beds and our own families. Wrong. I got someone else for you to talk to, Phil. Wait a minute. But Lord, I've been preaching and I've been testifying in Samaria and I'm heading back and I'm walking with Pete and John. You can't take this away from me. You know what? One-on-one witnessing may come when you're very tired, when you just want to get home, when you thought you were done for the day. And then somebody comes and starts a conversation with you. And you need to share Christ with them. One-on-one witnessing may come when we weren't planning on it, and more than likely, that's when it's going to happen. God is going to use us when we weren't expecting to be used. When he brings someone when we weren't expecting anyone. And this is very important for me and for you to learn this. Sharing our faith doesn't come on our timetable. Well, you know, God, I'm free next Tuesday at 3:00 if you want me to talk to somebody. I am the God of the universe, sovereign over everything. You submit to me, I don't submit to you. See, it is in times of my selfishness and carnality when I tell God, oh God, I don't have time for you. And that's a clear sign that I'm not spirit-filled and spirit-controlled. Because a spirit-filled and a spirit-controlled person is sensitive to what God is doing when God is doing it. And again, this is a sign of maturity. That, Lord, I'm willing to drop everything. Your God, I'm not. Lord, I don't want to be selfish. There are people who need to hear about life in Jesus, the life that I now have. And so we need to understand God will bring people when we weren't even expecting it. So when it means going it alone, I need to obey. When we thought we were done, I need to obey. Here's another one. Obey when it's out of the way. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. It's a desert road. Go to a road and it's a desert road. Doesn't that sound nice? It's in the desert. It's sandy. It's barren. It's hot. It's humid. It's whatever. This doesn't sound very promising or very exciting, Lord. I mean, here's a little map. There's no town out there. There's no village out there. There's no group of people gathered. It's on the side of a road. I'm just going on a road. God works in all places, not just populated places. By the way, how many of you on your first visit to Harvest thought you were driving out in the middle of nowhere? I've had people tell me their first time here, they kept driving, they turned around because they were convinced nothing was out here. God does things out in the middle of nowhere. And Phil's going to learn that. We just need to obey God's leading. And listen, this brings us to the next one. Obey when we don't have all the details. He's given a direction, head south, and it's on a road, but that's it. He doesn't know who he's going to meet. He doesn't know what he's going to find. That's true obedience. When you don't have all the details, but this is what the Word of God says, so I'm going to do it. When you don't have all the details, and you know God's clear leading, this is what I need to do. Something else about obedience. Obey when it doesn't seem to make any sense. Please understand this. Phil is leaving a revival. Big things are happening in Samaria. Acts 5 through 8. Philip had gone down to the city of Samaria. He's proclaiming Christ. The crowds. He's got crowds of people here. One accord, giving attention to what was said by Philip. They're listening to him. And as they heard and they saw signs he's performing in the case of many unclean spirits are coming out of them, shouting with loud voice. And many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. And there's much rejoicing in the city. Philip is a rock star for Jesus. Crowds are gathered. Mass evangelism is taking place. God is at work. And there's a very important lesson here. sharing with one person is just as important as sharing with a group of people. Sharing the gospel with one soul is just as important in the eyes of God than sharing with an entire group of people. Didn't seem to make sense. He's leaving a revival. Doesn't seem to make sense. He's leaving a fruitful ministry. Acts 8:25. I mean, they're starting back to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages and the Samaritans. They're willing to leave the crowds to seek one lost sheep. That's what God's teaching Phil. And less populated doesn't mean less fruitful. Less populated does not mean less fruitful. And then we see, not only obey when it means going it alone, and obey when you thought you were done, and obey when it's out of the way, and obey when you don't have all the details, and obey when it doesn't seem to make sense. Obey immediately. Verse 27, he got up and went. There's no question. There's no arguing with God. There's no second guessing the decision. There's no coming up with a better alternative plan, God. This doesn't make sense, God. How many times have we told God, God, this just doesn't make sense? There's none of that from Phil. He just got up and he went. Not knowing what would be there, not knowing who would be there. Obedience is trusting God. He's trusting God. And these are just the start of these lessons from Phil. What have we learned today? Lessons from Phil on sharing our faith. Say them with me. Make sharing Jesus the habit of your life. Serving Jesus and sharing Jesus go hand in hand. Share Jesus in spite of any and all persecution, or I'd add problems. Focus on being spirit-filled and you'll overcome all fear and obey the leading of the Lord.
If you've been prompted by this message and are in need of a new beginning, or would like more information about Harvest New Beginnings, visit atharvest.church.